WKDU, 91.7 FM in Philadelphia. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Community Spotlight, the public affairs program delivering news you can use and stories that inspire. On our program, we celebrate voices and perspectives that make a difference in our communities. Our mission is to always inform, engage, and uplift. You can join us every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and Monday at 9 a.m. and Thursday at noon on WKDU 91.7 FM in Philadelphia, or stream us live at wkdu.org/listen now from wherever you are in the world. I am Sherry Pennington, your host and founder of Community Spotlight, and I'm asking you to spend the next 30 minutes with us today because, as usual, we have an informative and exciting conversation. Community Spotlight is about connecting us all, sparking ideas, and moving us closer to positive change, and we need that connectivity now more than ever. So, welcome to another edition of Community Spotlight. And once again, this is your connection to information, inspiration, and people doing the work to strengthen our communities. Today, we're talking legacy, leadership, entrepreneurship, and opportunity through food. My guest is the founder of Tiny Cakes Bakery, a family-owned bakery established right here in Philadelphia in 2015, built on generations of recipes, love, and tradition. What started as custom cakes and pastries made from old-fashioned family recipes that grew into something much bigger. It's a business rooted in community service, youth development, and creating opportunities for the next generation. So her culinary roots stretch deep into her family's history in Cambridge, Maryland, where generations of women passed down recipes, wisdom, and the importance of farm-to-table living. Today, she's taken the legacy even further, stepping into a new role as youth culinary director and instructor at Project Home, completing the Airport Concession Academy, navigating the changing DEI landscape for certifications, expanding spring and summer events, and growing her nonprofit, Tiny Bakers, to create real pathways for young people. So, from business owner to mentor, from baker to builder of futures, her mission remains simple but powerful, making lives sweeter through food, opportunity, and purpose. Please welcome to Community Spotlight the visionary behind the Tiny Cakes Bakery, Sadamini Gray.
Yes.
Sadamini.
You got it.
Gray. Welcome to Community Spotlight. It's already been a journey getting here.
Listen,
today.
It's always a journey. That's the story of my life.
Yes. And that's kind of what we want to talk about first,
yes,
is your journey.
Yeah.
And for those meeting you for the first time, tell us more about who is this woman, Sadamini Gray, behind the whole Tiny Cakes business.
I would say, well, a mother. We could start there. Today is Mother's Day. I'm a mother of four, a grandmother of five. I'm strong, independent.
Yes.
Serial entrepreneur, creative, just an eclectic human being.
That's a lot. Saying, first of all, a mother.
Yes.
And we will say Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Even though when this airs on Thursday, happy belated Mother's Day. Being a mother in itself is like such a strong role. And single mother, all of that, grandmother.
Yes.
So, and baker. So, very good. What inspired you to launch Tiny Cakes, which you did back in, 2015? Is that right?
Yes, yes. Being a mom, having a son who has special needs, my second to the youngest child, his name is Sadiq, and he was almost pretty much born type 1 diabetic. He was diagnosed when he was 11 months years old. And at that time in 2002, he was the youngest ever diagnosed at that time here in Philadelphia. And almost losing my son and learning about diabetes, I was just thought that diabetes were like for older people, you know, senior citizens. I was not aware that younger people can get it. Yeah, that took me on a journey of just health and wellness in a different way.
Okay.
I was already privy to that the way I grew up. Both of my parents were, at that time, it was called strict vegetarian. So I was actually born vegetarian. And I didn't start eating meat until I was like a teenager, like through peer pressure in high school. So I kind of just went back on that kind of journey with him, cracking down on, you know, just me being an example, too, of what he can eat and not eat in my family. So around 2015, he was now school aged and starting to be more aware that he wasn't like his peers. I used to be getting calls from school saying we found him with a bag of candy on the playground and he was sneaking this and, you know, that, and we found this in his book bag, or they were having emergency situations with him where he was having seizures, diabetic seizures for hypoglycemia. So I just decided, you know, I said, what's the issue? He was just like, you know, when everybody has snacks, I can't eat snacks. And so I was already baking and cooking all the time. That's just what I love to do. And it's my favorite pastime for my family. And so I just said, well, I'm going to start baking some stuff and I want you to try it out, you know, and you let me know how it tastes, if it tastes as close as to the real thing. And I kind of just used him as my, you know, taste tester.
Your guinea pig.
No. Yes, I was going to say that first.
No, taste tester. It sounds more appropriate.
Yes, I was going to say that. Yeah, okay. he would tell me yay or nay.
Basically, then.
Yeah.
You started out, I guess, in addition to trying to alter his diet, trying to create the snacks for him.
Yes.
Which often came in the form of, I guess, your pastries and cakes.
Yeah. Yep. They did have that around that time. Tasty Cakes had a brand called Sensibles.
Yeah.
I think it's still out,
it
possibly.
Is. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have a little small line for that. And he got tired of the same thing over and over and over again. So, yeah. So I started making stuff.
That's what inspired the Tiny Cakes back there in 2015.
Yes.
Another interesting thing in your bio said that a lot of your recipes come from generations of women.
Yes.
And tell us about that. And what family lessons still guide you today?
Well, my mom used to be a chef. I was in the kitchen with her since the age of 5. Yeah, she taught me a lot of the basics and just really, especially being a vegetarian, and we were, what do they call it, vegan now. So it was very strict vegetarian. We didn't eat any fish, meat, or eggs. So I learned how to make everything from scratch, learned how to, you know, take milk and make curd and all those things, ricotta cheese and stuff like that.
Okay.
Ice cream, like from the old mill where you put the ice in it and the salt.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how I grew up. And my mom was like making my clothes and stuff like that. And so I learned how to sew. So I learned everything just from the basics of how basic living, you know, to survive.
Where
and stuff
did
like.
You grow up again?
I was born here in Philadelphia, but I'm an Army brat. My dad is a sergeant in the Army, and so we traveled a lot. And then also through our religious practices at that time.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah. Mother and father were, and so we traveled through the different temples also to do service.
Yes.
In different states and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it was called Ishkan. Through his army and through that, I've traveled to different places like Germany, I lived in New York, I lived in St. Louis, I lived in upstate New York, and
You have a vast background.
Yeah, Lake Huntington, like all types of stuff. I lived in Freeport, Long Island.
So you have a lot of ingredients to throw into
Potomac, Maryland.
Those tiny cakes.
Yes. Yeah, so I have a background of just tasting different foods, but basically I grew up on Eastern Indian food. So a lot of Eastern Indians are vegetarian. They don't eat beef because the cow is considered a sacred animal.
Oh.
Some eat chicken now, but even most Asian Indians are vegetarian. So I learned how to make things taste very good with spices and other different ingredients in order for your food to taste differently, you know?
Yeah, that explains one of my questions.
Yeah.
I would actually answer both of them because I read about you having the vegan and diabetic friendly options.
Yes.
And your son and your background contributed to that.
Yeah.
And so what has been your most popular product over the years?
My favorite, the most popular is my strawberry delight.
Strawberry delight.
Yeah. I just never understood where you see the cakes like give me a strawberry cake and it's just pink. And I'm like, it's just pink. It's no strawberry flavor.
Right.
It's no strawberry flavor. So when I started taste testing mine, I said, oh, I actually want real strawberries. Strawberries is actually my favorite fruit. And so I diced up strawberries and I found ways to get it in there where it just didn't deflate the cupcake or cake and stuff like that. And I dusted it with flour before I actually added it to the batter. Oh. And then I folded it in. And so it took me a while to figure it out because sometimes it would all just fall to the bottom or stuff like that. And then also when you fold it in, you can control the pinkness of the actual juices from the strawberries and stuff. And so I make my own strawberry preserves and stuff like that and fold it in. And with my Swiss meringue buttercream that I make from scratch, that's a little different from the American buttercream. So, I mean, I make both, but the Swiss meringue still has that nice fluffy flavor, that whip, but it's not that just airy where it's like no flavor, you know? It's a balance between the whipped and also a nice buttery flavor. And people just literally lose their minds over it. I don't know what it is about that cake or cupcake. People literally
lose their minds. Where can people find your cake to lose their mind? How do we get a taste of these?
Yes. So you can visit my website, which is www.ordertinycakes.com. That's my main place. I also have a catering menu on there as well. And social media, I'm all over, everywhere. I have like a lot of pages, but my main page on Instagram is tinycakes_36. I'm on Facebook too as Tiny Cakes Bakery as well.
Okay, so probably Tiny Cakes will bring you to.
Yeah, or you can just Google my name and everything pops up.
What name? Pseudonymy?
Yeah, Pseudonymy.
Pseudonymy.
Yeah, so.
So how do you spell that? Because.
Pseudamani. Last name Gray, Gray.
That might be hard to Google, Pseudonymy. Okay, very good. So I know recently you have a new role at Project Home.
Yes.
Okay, what excites you about that? You're looking very excited.
Well, through my nonprofit that I have, Tiny Bakers, I started that during COVID to give the children something to do. At the time, stepdaughters were homeschooled and they were just acting crazy along with everybody else's child. And the parents were burnt out. And I wasn't really working too much at that time with Tiny Cakes because, of course, everything was shut down and the food industry got really hit hard. And so I was doing private chef experiences at people's homes. But I was like, I'm just not used to being still, like, at all. Like, I'm used to moving all the time. So I was just like, it was something I was going to do later on when Tiny Cakes was, like, more established and I had my storefront. But I was like, well, why not now? And, I just filled out the paperwork, sent it off to the IRS, and I just started booking a venue in Germantown called Our House Culture Center. The kids came. They said, build it, and they will come, right? I was booking. Like, it was selling out. And so I'm now 5 years into Tiny Bakers. I've integrated the program at Simon Gratz, Martin Luther King. Okay. Yes. And I also collaborated with the CCAP program, which is another culinary program and school for students that's also integrated into the high schools that have culinary programs.
So what does that mean when you say you have integrated it into those high schools?
Well, I have a specific program. So
is it during school, after school? How does it work?
Well, the one at Simon Gratz was during school.
Okay.
This at Project Home is an after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
And so this facility is amazing. They have so many activities just for just the community at large.
Where are they located? What area?
North Philly, right down the street, like right off of CCB Moore and Ridge.
So anyone can attend this?
You would just have to sign up. Every program at, I believe it's called the Hockman Comcast Learning Center and Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology and Learning Center. It recently changed the name.
Project Home is under that umbrella?
Yeah, under that umbrella, they offer services and outreach for Philadelphia at large through homeless, offering resources like free food, pantries, This building offers adult and youth programs from like robotics. They have a whole music studio in there with all the best high tech equipment. They have graphic arts. They have photography and and now culinary, in which I run now that program.
And she gave us the whole rundown of everything else, which we love.
Oh, yeah.
We love getting those resources.
They have free surf save. So anybody that wants to get certificates and stuff like that, that's where I always renew my certifications at. Everything's for free.
Everything's free. You know, we love that word.
Computer lab, everything.
Yes. Yep. Well, thank you for that. Yep. Thank you for all of that. So what will your role as youth culinary director involve? I mean, we kind of mentioned some of it, but let's...
Yes.
I know you do a variety of foods. So what are you going to do?
So my goal is to teach them about family-style cooking. Instead of ordering it out all the time or getting stuff from the corner store, you know, all that stuff that has very high sodium and just it's no substance at all for the betterment of their growth and stuff. So I'm teaching them how they can take simple ingredients, possibly stuff that they already have in their home, even some canned goods. You know what I mean? I don't really do canned goods that much because sometimes they're already packed in sodium water and stuff like that. But I show them that better to have some vegetables than not.
So
you know?
Can you wash those canned good things off?
I rinse them off and stuff, but I tend to actually buy all my produce from a local and they come from a local farm in Jersey.
Yeah.
Practically almost every 2 days they get new shipments in. So I show them like how the food actually looks when it's fresh. When it's fresh, how it tastes when it's fresh versus when it's, things are processed. And I just showed them, like, you know, you can go to the pro store and get a bag of this for $1.50, and it's actually cheaper than the markets. And you can buy all these things and how you can make your own food. And so I have a program where I alternate between the weeks where I teach them the, how to make food. And then the off weeks, I do all about the dough. So it's not just about baking. So I teach them about baking too, but I show them how a simple dough can take you to different recipes and different other foods like pot pies. So dough doesn't only make cinnamon rolls. It can make pot pie.
Yes.
You can roll it up and make other things with that same dough and how simple it is just with flour, water, and yeast. Literally three ingredients.
Wow. I need to take that class. What impact have you seen in, like, the children's lives who have gone through any of your programs, whether it was during school, after school? Have you really
seen? Oh, yeah.
Like, give me an example.
Well, we just had our showcase on Thursday, which is the final season, I guess, for the winter going into the spring. And they were just super excited to actually showcase everything that they've learned since I've been there. And we cooked the whole smorgasbord forum and stuff. So we did it's called a Culture Food Fest.
Beautiful.
Was the theme that I made. And so we got to pick dishes from each region of the world. And so we had soul food for here.
Okay.
And we had Asian food. We had Mediterranean, Italian, Jamaican.
So the students made all the food?
I helped them, yeah. We've spent 2 days of prepping.
Yeah.
And the third day, I put everything together that morning and threw it in the oven. And they, when they came in from after school, they just helped me put the last finishing touches on, and then we put it out. And so the difference I see in them is their confidence usually goes up. When they first come in, they're very, like, usually timid and shy.
Mm-hmm.
I notice a lot of kids have a lot of insecurities and self-doubt. Possibly, I don't know, maybe from their upbringing, their environment, you know, Philadelphia is a tough city, you know, but I teach them that creativity is not, it's nothing to be ashamed of, that we're all each individuals and that we all put our unique spin on everything.
Yes.
And so they kind of learn that through trial and error of the different things, the mistakes. I teach them that nothing is a mistake. It's a learning experience. And because, you know, they might mess up and put too much of this ingredient and stuff like that. I say, well, we can fix it.
Yes.
Bacon, you can't fix too much. So, I say to them, when baking is a little different, you have to take your time. It's about patience, consistency, and it's very precise. but cooking, you can kind of throw your own stuff, your own spin in it and stuff like that. And so I show them how to fix things, how to problem solve. Like, okay, so what did you do? I was like, put too much salt. Okay, so we can actually water this down a little bit, you know, add this to balance, add some lemon, you know, to balance out flavors and how that tastes different on the tongue, on the palate. I really see their confidence go up a lot.
That's a good little tip how to fix things. Sometimes you might can't, but nine times out of 10, you can.
Yes.
You know, especially the salt. But a lot of people are shying away from salt. And I remember somebody said, put a potato in there. Let it soak it up. Well, one thing you said, you know, they've been promoting this movie, The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Part 2 with Tucci.
Oh, yes.
Tucci is the cook that travels around the world. I don't know if you've seen it, but he was on one of those talk shows this week and said, to be a good cook, you must exercise patience.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I'm not a patient person, but he loves to cook.
Yes.
So he exercises patience during that time. So that in itself is a good discipline to have. It really is. I'm very impatient. I know that.
Yes, I'm impatient. I like the things the way I want it and stuff, but baking is actually what taught me a lot of patience, well, along with my son as well. It calms me down. That's like my peace, my safe haven. The time I'm like clearing my head and I'm just in the kitchen just dancing a little bit. And it's actually a great stress reliever. A lot of bakers say that it relieves stress for them.
Mm-hmm. So on your website, do you have any recipes or is that even in your plan, a cookbook? Yeah. You know what I mean? Something to help a novice like myself. Well, let me.
Yes, it is coming. That is one of my next things on my list. I am a writer, so I do have books out. I'm working on another thing in another direction that has nothing to do with tiny cakes. But I'm in the field of like self-help, self-love, self-confidence, having the confidence in you. So I have books that are poetry books based on self-love. And it's called The Rebirth of Love. And I already have one on Amazon. That was the first version. I'm about to bring out the second version. It's called The Rebirth of Love Rooted. And after that, I think I'm going to do a cookbook, a baking book.
Very good. Busy woman here. Yeah. One thing that when we met the last time, I don't know, earlier or was it last year, you were talking about completing the Airport Concession Academy.
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience. What did it teach you and where are you in that whole journey? What does that mean?
So, yes, I completed it. It was an extensive program, I can say the least. I think I was only the second class that came out of it, or maybe the third. It's something the airport started because they want to integrate more small businesses into their concession plan. They want to kind of not break away from it, but the big chain restaurants and stuff and give more small businesses opportunity. And so I was referred by the Santander Cultivate Small Business Program, which I completed in 2023, which was a big extensive program as well. And so they referred me, I got in and I did the program from July to October. And at the end, we had to do a major final project, group project, and they put us into groups and we had to do a mock concession plan. Make our own business and stuff. Wonderful. And present it before the board.
Great.
It was a big thing. So
how did that work out for you?
Oh, it went well. We got, I believe it was either number one or number two best group.
Excellent.
Yeah. A lot of us already have successful businesses already throughout Philadelphia. And now that I completed the program, I was able to put in my certification. It's called the It's a long thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very long. Like it's called A, B, C, D, like
E, F, G. No.
It's long, something like that.
Okay.
But that certification covers almost all food businesses certifications, and also covers to even get into the food industry with SEPTA. So they have that same certification as well. But the issue that was holding that process up is the DEI rollbacks.
Yes, talk about that.
Through the Trump administration.
Yes.
Which is very disheartening, even though that certification covers kind of all that. It's the overhead of women minority, you know, owned businesses, black-owned businesses and stuff like that, that sometimes you have to get those certifications individually, or you can. The certification I'm going through covers all of that. And mm-hmm. so they actually had a hold on everybody's over 100 applications that put it in. Yes.
What?
Because of the DEI rollbacks.
Right.
Because they didn't have new guidelines of what they wanted to accept as considered disadvantaged. Yeah. And so they finally just told me, listen, just write a narrative paper, I guess. Like, I did almost a 2-page paper just talking about my disadvantages of just my upbringing.
Okay.
I couldn't use black. I couldn't say woman. I couldn't. So it kind of puts you in a precarious situation when these being in these areas, like a woman, black, does automatically put you at a disadvantage.
But you could not put that in the narrative.
Yeah, I couldn't be specific. Mm-hmm. I had to say, okay, I had disadvantages because I was a single mom.
I understand.
You know, like I had to say little things that I went through.
I tell you, this administration is just really rocking the boat for all of us.
Yeah, so they're behind.
I don't care what direction, what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, this is ridiculous.
But they have not yet to really give any guidelines. So they're just moving forward with the process. And they're like behind months because they just was sitting there. All these applications were just sitting.
We know the real reason why. We won't say that on the air. I want to keep my little job. So, madness is all I can say.
Complete.
So, will you be in the airport? Or
yes, yes.
Your business will be in the airport.
All my stuff has been complete since September.
Wonderful.
I was not playing. Before I even graduated, I was ready. But yeah, I'm just waiting. They're now moving forward with reviewing all the applications. And I would assume they told me within possibly a couple months I should get that certification and I'll be moving forward. But in the meantime, I'm still working on my, regular storefront. That's actually going to be my sister location.
I love
this. Tiny Cakes
so
Bakery
much.
Will be here regardless, either way.
Tiny Cakes Bakery. Give us your website again. We're speaking with Sudanami Gray, and she's the owner of Tiny Cakes.
Yeah.
Bakery.
Yes.
And a director of this thing, that thing, getting ready to open up at the airport, a poet, a book one, book two, coming up with the cookbook. This is a phenomenal woman, mother, grandmother.
Thank you.
We are so excited that you have come by and wish you all of the best. And like when you go to the airport, folks, look out for the Tiny Cakes Bakery. You have a captive audience there, and that's going to be a wonderful opportunity. Any last words you want to share with the community in our 1 minute?
Be the change that you want to see.
There you go.
And that's it. And my goal is to make your day a little sweeter.
Oh, I like that. We thank you so much, and we thank you for listening to Community Spotlight as usual. If you have news that you think we can use, go to wkdu.org, attention Community Spotlight, and we'll see if we can get your story on. In the meantime, you know what? You go in peace, stay in peace. Pray to God, and by all means, put the guns down.
Mm-hmm. Changes we go through. We go through changes. Changes we go through. We go through changes. Changes we go through, we go through changes. Changes we go through, we go through changes. Changes we go through, we go through changes.
Very fortunate to be listening to WKDU, Drexel University, non-commercial, pre-format radio. Stream us at wkdu.org/listen now. Tell a friend.